Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Today we're continuing a Skype interview we started last week with Miguel and Claudia Labrador. They're missionaries working in Ecuador with Pathways International. Miguel and Claudia are making disciples and encouraging the formation of simple churches near Mindo, Ecuador.
The thing about everybody's a missionary, we're all missionaries in our own context, we're already sent where we are. I think you can go to two extremes on that. Number one, it opens the gate so wide that people panic because they just don't know what to do with all that liberty. On the other side, it could harm those that are already cross-cultural in context, those who have already crossed the border. And so, you know, there's always this little bit of tension between being a missionary where you are and being a missionary where God would have you. And I think that's the answer to the question. Does God want me to remain in the situation in which I was called, or does he want me to go somewhere else? Another thing I think that can pose a little bit of or can cause some confusion is the whole Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth thing. I don't necessarily think that that's prescriptive. I think that we go where the Lord leads us to go. And like Christ, you know, he said he didn't do anything except what he heard from the Father, or what he saw the Father, or what the Father asked him to do. I think that's the essence of what it means to be a missionary where you are, or somewhere else, if that's what the Lord wants for you. In our situation, you know, the way we were called to Ecuador is mind-blowing, and God called me while I was here in Ecuador on an exploratory trip. At the same time, he placed a call on my wife's heart, and she was at home doing her normal weekly stuff. I called her on the phone, and the first thing she said was, "I know, we're going to Ecuador," and I didn't even say anything. So that was a clear call in our lives that God wanted us to leave our current situations, not only our situations. I mean, we gave up our house, our cars, our jobs, everything, to follow this call. Not everybody has to do that. And, you know, if God calls you to minister where you are, perfect. It's a little bit more difficult in the States because, you know, nine out of ten jobs don't allow you to talk about God in the workplace.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to be a missionary in that sort of environment? A friend of mine just recently told me, he says, in his neighborhood, everybody works all day. They come home to be left alone.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear anything after work. And so ministering the gospel in an environment like that is particularly challenging. It's not impossible. And, you know, that's where being a missionary where you are, especially in a Western context, becomes extremely difficult. But I got to be honest with you. We've both been back to the States. I've shared the gospel in prisons and institutional churches. I've talked about organic assembly. And I've had nothing but a welcoming attitude and success in the transmission of the gospel. I think it's because I just stick to my guns and keep doing the things that we're doing here, and I take those back there. I wish I could bottle it up. I wish I could tell you how to be contextually relevant in your situation. I wish I could develop a program that's going to work 100% of the time, regardless of where you guys put it into practice, but it just doesn't work that way. I think you have to be disposed and leaning into the will of God so that he can use you in the way that he wants, where he wants, when he wants, how he wants. It's insane, but it's just that simple.
Yeah. We think about sacrifice as being something major to get involved with God's mission, and it really doesn't, for those that want to know where to start, it's a little overwhelming to think about, what am I going to have to sacrifice to do this? I can start small and give up. I know this is a big sacrifice for some guys, but you can give up one football Sunday a month. Or, you
take
know,
that
when
back.
You're not working, you know. Yeah. And you know, just think about the smaller things that you can sacrifice, you know, a couple of hours of television that you might watch weekly or whatever.
Because, now you're getting personal.
Because we have a lot of personal things that we like to do, and we like to hold on to our personal space and our personal time. But we really need to make a few more personal sacrifices, because that whole self-absorbed thing is what swallows up our time.
Yeah, his commands, you know, I love the passage. It says, you know, his commands are not burdensome, though. You know, I think that's the thing. And it's a joy to follow him. And just you do the thing that's right in front of you that the Lord has told you to do. And it'll be a joy. And it will be it's not always easy, but I think there's joy that comes with that. You know, I really appreciate kind of what you all are saying. And I think that it is that simple. It's simple in idea. It's not always practically that simple. I think, especially here, there's so many other options for being a good Christian person. You know, every street corner there's a sign that's promoting a different way of life that caters to comfort in a lot of ways. And I think that what you're all talking about is what Tom and I are. You know, we're trying to say, hey, there is another way that's maybe challenging in some ways. It's simple in form. It's going to be hard to live out, but it's rewarding. There's sacrifice involved, but there's a great reward that comes with that. And I think that, you know, that's what I'm hearing from you guys, and that's what encourages me, is that, you know, it is the same call to make disciples and see the church multiplied, whether or not you're in Ecuador or you're in Lexington, Kentucky or Louisville, Kentucky or California or wherever. And that's one of the things to me that is so, I think, encouraging about simple church ideas, organic church ideas, is that if you're doing this right here in Lexington, Kentucky, and the Lord does tap you on the shoulder and call you to go to Ecuador or to the Ukraine or wherever it may be, you have already been trained a lot. If you're living that way here, when you go there, the principles transfer. It's not because this is not about packaging American culture and taking it and doing American church somewhere else. This is about simply breaking everything down to the bare essentials, following Jesus in a way that's reproducible, in a way that allows for the church to grow in whatever cultural context that you're in. Right now, the simple church we're involved in, we're really kind of involved in the skate community in Lexington, skateboarding culture, and we're seeing church happen there that's very much unique to that subculture. But the principles transfer, and that's what's so always encouraging to me.
Yeah, it is. Before we came to Ecuador, when we first got together, got married, and this year we'll be married 12 years, and we've been here in Ecuador 8 years this year. Mm. We went out to dinner weekly, a couple of times a week, but definitely once a week, and we would talk about our faith with each other as we were having dinner, and we would make it a point to be very open, be in a place where there were a lot of people around, and people would just engage in conversation. So you can actually start, you know, reaching out missionally in just about everything that you do in the public square. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, and a lot of people fear that, you know, government's got regulations here and regulations there. But the reality is that people are hungry. And if they're not, they'll walk away. You're not forcing it on anybody, and those that say that you are, they you know, it's just, they're just making trouble.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of times we fear the things the most of being rejected when we're coming out into the public arena, and just be natural. Just, you know, if you're going, and I think it's easier if you're with a partner, and just like, you know, going out in twos, it's very biblical. It's, and you have a support system, but then you're not talking to yourself. You're talking to each other. So even if people don't want to listen, you're still having the conversation, you know? So
yeah, to take that out of King James English, we bellied up to the bar and had real life conversations, which often included the gospel in the most bizarre places. You know, Neil Cole says, if you want to reach unbelievers with the gospel, you have to learn how to preach in the smoking section.
Yeah.
And so I like that.
We've heard of Neil Cole.
Yeah,
we recently went to the States and were involved. Well, we were guests at a centralized conference, and those guys are really organic in their movement to share the gospel and to be community oriented in a very simple way, being Christ in your community. And they're embracing the Forge Network as well. And those are two networks that are actually very focused on sharing the gospel in your community, mm-hmm. in a very practical way and not in a big institutional way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good insights from both of those organizations. So I'm just putting it out there because we're learning from them and we're learning from them that we've been doing what they're striving to do for quite some time here.
Don't you think that's interesting? How, I mean, I've been blown away by that. Like, you know, I remember 5 or 6 years ago, I started thinking about these things, and I just thought that, you know, I didn't even know who Neil Cole was or Felicity Dale or Tom LeCompte or any of these guys. I mean, I just started thinking all these crazy thoughts about what is church? What does it really mean to make disciples? What does it mean to follow Jesus and to, you know, and I started thinking all these things. And then, you know, you kind of think, well, I'm the only person that's out there that's thinking these things. I must be crazy. I must be a heretic. I must be losing my mind. And then lo and behold, it's like, not only are there tons of people around thinking these same things, there are people that have been thinking these things for a long time and been living out these principles really since the beginning. You know, and that's been very encouraging. And I hope that's what this podcast can be to people, you know, the 3 or 4 people that find it. You know, that's our prayer, is that it'll be an encouragement to them, you know, and that. So,
yeah, well, when you get ready, we'll put it out there on our website and on our networking pages as well. People will hear it.
I think we got 5 or 6. Subscribers to us.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny. I never heard the word, and so I was unchurched, essentially. Not really unchurched, but I bounced around a lot investigating church when I was younger. I really didn't become an obedient believer until I married this guy. It was a few months after that, you know, the Lord told me I better get it together, because otherwise we weren't going to work out. And so that was a godsend. But I never heard the word heretic until I actually got involved with Simple Church. And then I started hearing it all over the place. And I was like, wow, you know, really? And how Simple Church started for us really was, you know, we came on mission and we lived, right now we live in a community, but when we first moved here, we lived in the woods and we were pretty much on 23 acres all by ourselves, 5 kilometers from the main road, and we were out there all alone. And as soon as we got internet, we started digging around for means of fellowship, because we were really missing that, because the fellowship is important no matter how you want to do it. It's important. And so that's when we found Simple Church. And I didn't, because we came out of institution naturally going on mission, we didn't have that bitterness a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And so I feel really blessed by that, because I feel that detracts from the experience of the shift when you're moving from one to the other with some animosity. Now, I understand that there's some healing in hurts to be done and that sort of thing. But, you know, if we can keep Philippians 4, you know, approach to keeping our minds focused on what is good and true and of good report and that sort of thing, I think we can make those transitions a lot easier, keeping our focus on the Lord and not on all the bad stuff that everybody's doing. Because to tell you the truth, the bad stuff is everywhere, even in the organic church circles. Yeah. You're going to deal with junk, because once you get into a life, a kingdom life, and going into the trenches, and everywhere is the trenches, You're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to get dirty, and it's going to be messy. Relationships messy all over the place. And so I think that that's probably a really good gem to put out there for your listeners that might be making the transition now, to just try to keep simply focused on the Lord and not all the bad
it's
stuff.
It's about Jesus and not any model.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you know, it really is as simple as that. I can remember when I was first discovering all the principles of organic gatherings, I was like, oh, I want to be organic. And, you know, I was reading everybody about what organic was. And I said, oh, I want to be that, or I want to be that.
Just, every other moment was a wow moment.
It just didn't, it just never satisfied. And then missional became the new thing. And I was I want to be missional. You know, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to think that. And then I just got frustrated because what I saw in both camps was sort of a shadow of the way things are. I got so frustrated I coined a word, Missy Organic, and that's where I've been ever since. But like you just said, Tom, you know, focus on Christ, emulate him, like Paul said, you know, imitate me because I imitate Christ. We can get into all sorts of debates about that. It really doesn't matter. But to walk in a manner like Christ, always being disposed to listen, do, and go where the Father says, to me, that is, first of all, the blessed place to be. And there's a lot of contentment there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is very freeing. I remember when I was packing up all our stuff, Michael was already here, and Miguel. 4 months later, I came along, but in the meantime, I was packing up the house to sell and getting everything ready, and the local newspaper caught wind of it, and they came out and interviewed me while I was packing everything up, and they said, how does it feel to be, this must be so overwhelming, just looking around, getting rid of all your stuff, and I said, actually, it's very freeing, you know, it's less to have to maintain. Mm-hmm. The lighter that you live and carry yourself, the less there is to have to, you know, keep up with. And that's a really good, freeing feeling.
Good. So you guys...
Go ahead.
No, I was just... Pathways International, that's your mission group. How can someone find you and possibly support you, pray for you?
Yes, our website is www.pathwaysinternational.org, mm-hmm. and we can be found on Facebook under Miguel Labrador in Mindo, Ecuador, and Claudia Labrador in Mindo, Ecuador. We also have a networking page on Facebook called Making Disciples, mm-hmm. and Miguel writes a blog.
God-directed deviations.
Pathways International site, yeah, and it's a really great blog. It makes people think.
Yeah, I enjoy your comments and your wit and your humor. I really really like to follow you guys.
Thank you. We try to keep it real, you know.
hey, that's what I'm about, keeping it true to the streets.
it is. I mean, there are no facades. You get dirty, but you know, you find the joy in it, and you know, you laugh and you cry, and it doesn't matter who's watching, because really, you know, you just want to be a reflection of Christ, no matter what. And Jesus wept too.
You can also find us on Twitter at missionaries. Yeah, I know, I got it. Yeah, it's been great talking with you guys. Hopefully we can do this again. I especially like what you had to say, Gavin, about keeping it simple and developing that attitude prior to going on mission, so to speak, so that you can duplicate what you already know. I like that a lot.
I like that too. For me, simple is taking in and learning what I'm reading and hearing from other people that have experience, but also keeping an open mind as I'm doing it, that I don't have to look like what everybody else is doing. The Holy Spirit will move in each of us if we surrender ourselves to just do God's will. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be a cookie cutter thing. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that encouragement. Yeah, and something you can pray. I know for me, I really have a burden that, you know, there are so many colleges and universities that are around us here, and I really believe that it will happen, and I'm praying that it will happen, and it's starting to happen, that God would help an entire generation of college students understand simple and organic church and experience it, starting in college, living it out, planning churches on their campuses, in their dorms, in their apartment buildings, and experiencing this type of life, so that when they graduate with that degree in engineering or teaching or English or music or whatever it is, literally, you know, people can be sent out all over the world, whether it's Arizona or Africa. They can go there, and they won't be going there thinking, I'm going to try to do something that I've never done before, but they will have actually already been had on-the-job training while they're in college, learning to live in the simple way and follow Jesus like this. So that'd be a great prayer if you think of us here in Lexington. That's something that I think about a lot and pray and praying for. And I don't know, maybe I won't live to see that day that that happens, but I do think that is going to happen. And so that's exciting.
I will pray for it and encourage you, because I didn't have any theological background, no training or anything. I just followed and let God shape me the way that he wanted to. And I discovered that he gave me pastoral giftings and lots of wonderful hospitality to share with people. And all of those little things that I used to do actually shaped themselves like a big puzzle together. All the things that I learned in my life and the experiences that I had all shaped together for his purpose. And finding your place there, you don't have to be this major scholar. You know, it's good to work with folks that have experience and to get your feet wet with folks, but you don't have to be a major scholar to actually go out there and do the will of God.
Well, that's good, because I'm not, so...
Yeah, and students may get a little intimidated, you know, because they're young. But, you know, Timothy was young, so hey, go for it.
Thank you guys so much for taking time. I don't know what time is it there. Are we in the same? My geography is not functioning right now.
It's February here already.
we're in the same time zone as you are.
Okay.
We actually don't do daylight savings time here in Ecuador, and so we're 6 months on Central Time and 6 months on Eastern Time.
Wow. Okay. How can we pray for you?
Oh, well,
we're in an interesting phase of transition. We are tossing around the idea of another time. I was thinking in Spanish. You have to forgive me. Of slimming down materially, optimizing, simplifying again, even to a more profound depth. And taking our concepts and successes, if you want to call it that, and going into other places that are like this in South America. There's nobody working in what they call the camp, in these wooded, secluded, pocketed communities. There's really nobody working in those communities in all of South America. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that still don't know the gospel, have never heard the name of Christ, and we're seriously tossing around the idea of establishing more of these missional communities that we've got going on in this zone, but we're kind of clueless on how to get there at this stage. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, we're waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
Another thing is we're actually going to be moving towards hoping to get a resident visa for Ecuador so that we can have some kind of firm planted place that we can call our base without feeling like we may be uprooted, because we actually right now renew our visas annually. Volunteer missionary visas.
And it is extremely stressful.
It's a painful process. Yeah, and we've just taken on a young man that's been one of our disciple students for a few years. He's living with us now in our house. He's homeless for a little while, and we caught wind of that and invited him to come live with us. And so that's a first for us, to open the home for actually having someone live here with us. And he's been studying ever since he got here. He's been here about a week. And so that's actually been a real joy and a change for us as well. So
cool. Very cool. Well, if we could just close with a prayer, and I'll stop recording, and then we could just kind of say goodbye again. We have to do this again, maybe without the recording. But
yeah, it's really great. And I want to say thanks to all of the folks that are listening to your podcast too.
Oh, yeah, all six of them. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.